Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce our panel, then we will give you the information of how you can join in on our fun and write us a letter that we may or may not read. And then we'll also let you know as to what our topics are for today. Joining us for the discussion, WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, sir.
Whoa.
Hey, and Times Union columnist Chris Churchill.
Good morning.
Is in the house. How are you, sir?
Good, good.
Very good. And corporate attorney Rich Honan joins us this morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Very nice. Very good. Good to have you here and with us once again.
Good to be here. Thank
All
you.
All right. Roundtable at WAMC.org is the address if you would like to reach us and try to send us a letter. We would love to hear what you have to say about the many issues that we're going to talk about. So right now, between the heads of Chris and Rich is the CNN feed coming into the studio, which is our story that we're talking about this morning, which is Donald Trump and Paul Ryan having a high-stakes meeting to talk about unity. And we have discussed this story over the past several days. One of the things that has changed slightly and that I wanted to bring up is the fact that over the past 36 hours or so, Donald Trump has, while earlier in the week saying that it was important for there to be unity, has actually been saying what Alan has been saying all along. Why would you change what you're doing? And that there seems to be a mandate from the people because of the vote that he has been getting. There is a mandate from the people. And he wants to be the outsider. So why do you need unity?
Yeah.
So now you have the meeting. So how is this going to go?
Well, clearly the onus is on Ryan, right, guys? I mean, the onus is on Ryan because Ryan wants to be president of the United States. So in order to screw it up, Ryan would have to say, "I'm not going to support the candidate who is going to run for president this time." And somebody will bring that up, so he really has to consider that. On the other hand, there's a counter pressure, which are both of the Bush guys who don't want to go. Mitt Romney, his great friend, who doesn't want to even go to the convention, and he's got to satisfy that constituency too. So he's somewhere between the proverbial rock and the hard place.
Well, to play devil's advocate, though, if Ryan believes that Trump's going to lose in a landslide, wouldn't he be better off to distance himself from Trump? And then so he could say, listen, I told you that guy had no chance, and I never wanted him to be the nominee in the first place.
Then you would have all the Trumpets for time immemorial. And we don't know how many. All we know is he keeps winning primaries. He doesn't get endorsed by newspapers and the rest of it, most newspapers, but he keeps winning primaries. So he has a pretty vast constituency. And by the way, if you have been looking at the numbers, you say devil's advocate, but if you've been looking at the numbers lately, it's very close. It's going to be a close election. So he'll have people yelling at him forever that if it was close but no cigar, that he was the responsible party for that.
Yeah, but I think I hear what Chris is saying. I think I have to believe Ryan will take a little more of a nuanced approach. He can't, as the leader of the party, he can't be seen to, you know, completely diss, you know, the presidential candidate. And frankly, more to the point, that doesn't help Ryan, you know, in any of his endeavors. So you might think, at least if he appears to try and appears to reach out and look, if it works, it works. If it doesn't work because of Trump, you know, then Ryan says, I tried to bring people together. I can't see him really actively working against it, except that you just feel like these are two guys who would just not get along.
Yeah, well, Ryan has espoused this long-term view of the party too. You know, the need to attract more Hispanics, more women, more younger voters, and I think he sees Trump as against that in every respect, right? So,
by the way, folks, if you're trying to figure out which male voice is which,
yeah,
in this case, it was Chris, and now back to Rich.
The more well-spoken one is Chris, and the one who's ranting more is Rich. So this is Rich.
Rich the conservative.
Yeah, they'll be able to tell in a minute,
so,
don't worry.
So you can direct your mail. I'm not I'm not. First of all, I don't know that Trump is actively. Who knows what Trump is actively doing? I don't know that the story has yet been written on the demographics of who's going to end up voting for Trump.
Right.
And
I agree with that.
I mean, this. If nothing else, this has been such an evolving thing. But I said the other day, I think he's actually in a really good position. Kind of whatever happens, as long as he comports himself correctly, he's the winner. You know, if Trump wins, he wins. If Trump loses, he could still win. The only way he loses is if he is seen as actively, you know, creating dissonance.
He could do what we call, and Chris knows a lot about this because he's been writing about it, he could pull a Cuomo. He could say one thing and do the other.
Yeah.
So Cuomo is forever saying, you know, I'm for Democratic State Senate. But in fact, we all know he's not.
Right.
And so he does nothing to help. But on the other hand,
that's what Ryan will probably do.
On record.
Yeah, that's what Ryan will probably do. It's important to remember, though, that Trump needs something from Ryan, too. I mean, Trump needs that GOP fundraising machine to crank up.
And the grassroots organization, the people who actually drive seniors to the polls and that kind of stuff.
Well, if he has it and he's not lying, he does lie from time to time. He could just take a billion out of the 10 billion he has and just plunk it down a table.
Well, I think he's already said he doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, and he's already, I don't think he has the
billions. No, that's not entirely true. In the beginning, he said he didn't need to supplicate the same way. And now he's changed his mind, and now he's saying he needs the money.
Well, he said for the general election. Yeah. He supported the primary effort, and then for the general election, he was not going to use his own money.
And I'm not so sure how much he supported that when you think about it, Joe, because...
Well, that's absolutely true. But which brings up the tax returns, which we have not seen yet, and is that important?
I'll look at Chris. He's the investigator.
I don't know. I mean, it's not important to his core supporters. They don't care. They don't care at all. But I think it's a tough one.
They hate the tax man to begin with. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the normal things don't seem to stick to him, right? I mean, they pummeled Romney for his tax returns. And
even Sanders for a while.
Right, right. But, you know, Trump seems to...
They pummeled Romney for his tax returns, and now Romney's the president of the United States.
No, that's what I mean, though. It worked against him. I don't know that it'll work against Trump. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that's a very good point. It did work against him, right. I suppose. Maybe. Maybe
it seemed
that was
to.
One
I mean,
well, it worked against
had him on the defensive, at least.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It worked against Romney because Romney went on the defensive. You know, Trump, as always, went on the offensive, said, I'm not showing you. You know, if the audit gets over, that audit will last, you know, for all of our lifetimes. I'm sure it's an ongoing thing that just I'm sure he's constantly audited.
No, I've been audited.
Have you?
Yeah. Once my brother-in-law, who was our accountant at the time, went and represented me, said, you stay away. And he came back with another $700 for me.
There you go. You should stay away from more things.
Well said.
The tax return thing.
Was that a shot?
The tax return thing does bring up the issue of how much money he really has, though, which I think a lot of people are curious about. You know,
isn't that funny? Like, you think if he's lying, he's lying that usually, you know, Romney was trying to hide how much money he had.
Right.
And maybe
right.
Trump's trying to hide how little money he has.
He qualified for a star exemption. So
did he really?
Yeah. So your household income has to be below $500,000 annually to qualify for that. So that makes you wonder. I mean, who knows how he did the accounting?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Just for those
people who are around, the star is what again?
It's a property tax rebate,
right?
And
in New York State, right?
Yeah. But after a $500,000 household income, you don't get it,
right? I think it saved him something like $300, but he got it for year after year.
That's fascinating.
But none of us think. Well, let me ask you: do any of us think this change? This doesn't change anybody's mind, right? It maybe adds to the drumbeat, but I mean, it's not a wedge issue.
Okay. No, I don't think so. I mean, he'll say, you know, my money's all in my assets. It's, you know, I don't, my income is.
Nobody knows, really. This is what's so fascinating about Trump. Nobody knows who likes him. In other words, we don't really know. We think we know that there's a demographic, that it's white men, that it's this and that. But obviously, wherever he goes in any of these states, he is attracting a lot of people. And somebody's going to write in now and says, well, that's 25% of 25%. It's really 5%.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
I have not really.
He keeps winning these primaries.
He's winning these primaries, but he's gotten 10 million votes. He's gotten 40% of the GOP electorate. This goes back to his mandate thing. He doesn't have a mandate. I mean, there's the primary vote, which he has a slice of of the primary electorate, but the general election is a whole different thing.
You know, Chris, every time a guy wins by 2 votes an election, they come back and they say, I have a big mandate here.
Right.
The mandate is, yeah.
Well, but he
hasn't won an election yet. A general election of everybody. He's won, you know, he's won this core group. But
primaries.
Right.
Yeah.
The article in the New York Times that we've been talking about, Donald Trump's behavior in recent days, the political threats to the House Speaker, Paul Ryan, the name-calling on Twitter, the attacks on Hillary Clinton's marriage has deeply puzzled Republicans who expected him to move to unite the party, start acting presidential, and begin courting the female voters that he will need in the general election, and he has not done any of that.
Joe, he answered that question his very self. He said, because there was all this stuff, is he going to change? Well, if he changes, then does his image to the core voters who have been supporting him change? In other words, he says, why should I change? I'm winning this way. So I'll keep attacking.
Well, and not only that, and the people who are advising me to change lost.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, so what
meaning the Republican establishment / base.
Well, sir, I'm saying Republicans running in presidential elections.
Yes.
Right. So
the other 16.
Yeah,
well, you know, this guy's been saying nice things about Bernie Sanders, and there's a reason for that. One, it's divisive and it brings some Democrats over, but it's also because Bernie and Trump share something. They share the admiration of the guy in the barrel, in America, and he says about Bernie, you should vote for me because you, Bernie, I should vote for me because I'm like Bernie, I am different from the establishment Hillary Clinton types of people.
True, I mean, but they both represent the disaffected wings of their party. It's just that in Trump's case, the disaffected wing turns out to be pretty much almost the whole party, or at least a plurality, I'll say.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I don't know. Again, he's only gotten 40% of the vote.
Yeah, or, as Chris said,
but he's gotten 40% of a number that's 8 million more than it was last year. I mean, and I'm not saying that's all because of him. I mean,
well, a lot of it's because of him, but then you had a lot of people showing up to vote against him, too.
We get so much mail here from the Bernieites who say, it's scary to me. I will never vote for that woman. I will never vote for Hillary. And I write back and I say, what about the Supreme Court? Which is why my new theory is he'll now, because Trump will do anything he can to get Democratic voters now. And he's changed on all kinds of more liberal positions. I bet the guy comes out with a list of potential Supreme Court justices who would be found acceptable by Democratic voters.
Well, he's already said his sister would be a great justice, right? And his sister is pretty liberal, from what I understand.
His sister is actually a good judge. His sister is she's actually a well-regarded, judge. It's interesting.
But she's not a judge that most conservative voters would be
happy
with, I don't think. Yeah.
And he doesn't care. He wants to win.
Yeah, but isn't he risking? I mean, he's got to get conservative votes too. He can't just toss those people over the.
Okay, you're a conservative voter. Zap! You're a conservative voter.
Yeah,
you're coming in at the moment of truth to the polling place, and you have a choice. You got Hillary, you got Bernie. Where you going? You're going to go for Jill Stein?
If I'm a conservative voter?
Yeah.
Oh, hit the Gary Johnson button.
You will not.
Well, but that's the thing, and that happens on both sides, right? A lot of them
will, I think.
But you see people moving to the
1%
center.
1% of 1%.
Lose their base. You don't lose your base because your base might not be as enthusiastic, but the base is not going to go for the other side.
Yeah, but we've never seen a nominee who didn't have the core of the party locked down more than Trump, right? I mean, you go down all the magazines, National Review, all these the bastions of conservatism, none of them support him.
And right. And that never works. That never works. That
doesn't matter.
Recently, that has not worked for the Republicans. I mentioned this the other day. Mitt Romney got 93% of the votes of Republicans. Where did he get them? I mean, that wasn't even a close election.
And it wasn't enough, is the point.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he lost. Some people would argue that he lost because conservatives didn't show up for him. He got 8 million fewer votes than McCain did.
I think he lost for a lot of reasons. I can't believe that.
He put the dog on the top of the car.
Yeah, I can't believe the conservatives, didn't show up to vote against Barack Obama. I'm
sorry, what?
I don't believe the conservatives did not show up to vote against Barack Obama. I just think he ran his campaign so badly at the end. I think he made a terrible mistake with Ryan. I think if he had picked little Marco, he'd probably be president right now. I really do. But
wow, you're gonna put
and I heard that little Marco's people. I read in the paper.
Senator Marco Rubio of Florida. Yes, yeah, yeah, just for those.
I read in the paper.
Does that not show you the power of Trump?
That his people were trying very hard to get him the vice presidential nomination.
Under Romney.
No, under this guy. Under Trump.
Yeah, that's
it's not going to happen. It's going to be Chris Christie. That's it.
It can't be Chris Christie.
I don't even understand why Chris Christie is even in the room.
Well, because he has said that he would not do it, at least the narrative right now is that he would not do it, which
Cheney
is why he's...
Alan's about to say you're not going to get it.
He took the transition.
He took the transition. He said, I'm going to be in charge of the transition.
Yeah, well...
Apparently, there hasn't been an election yet, so there's really nothing to
transition to,
yet. But that was, and then we also heard that the person who is leading the vice president pick effort, who was Ben Carson, has now been moved away from that job and has been taken over more by his campaign manager, whose name
Corey Lewandowski.
Stephen wrote us and said, independents, have you discussed the possibility of lots of independents that don't show up in the primaries coming out for the drumpf and swinging in the general election? Steve, parenthesis, going crazy because of this guy. Great show.
It's possible, but the polls don't show that
yet. It ain't going to happen. Yeah. You know, I mean, I can't tell you how many letters we get here about, I'm voting for Jill Stein. Why don't you talk more about Jill Stein? That has happened in a lot of elections. We have had those letters, and it doesn't turn out to be a huge outpouring. It's just that many Jill Stein voters listen to WAMC.
It's still a state-by-state analysis, though, right? I mean, we're making a macro analysis, and it really comes down to different precincts in different states and different, you know, swing areas. I did notice it.
That's why we have John King.
Right.
Yeah, the magic board.
But what's fascinating about Trump, too, is that he rejiggers the board a little bit. I mean, he may win Pennsylvania, states like that, but there are a lot of deep red states that where he's losing in the polls right now, including Utah and, you know, Arizona, places like that.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's a little bit of a different board than it has been before.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. I know Jan Brewer is real big on his side, on the Arizona side. The other thing I used, you know, when this started, it seems like 1,000 years ago when this campaign started, and we all kept waiting for Trump to say the thing that was really going to sink him. And he still can. He's absolutely capable of it. I'm starting to wonder, I could see Hillary saying the thing that sinks her. I could see Hillary just coming out, but just, you know.
No,
by,
I agree.
The coal mine, you know, we're going to put a lot of coal miners out of work. Who says that?
Yeah.
You know, it's just.
We're gonna hold it there for a second. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll introduce your letters into the equation. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. The group we have is Alan Chartok, Chris Churchill, and Rich Honan. We welcome your letters, roundtable@WAMC.org, and we will get to some of those letters right now.
And one of them I'm going to read out of order, because I try to get them as they're coming in, is from Rachel, who basically has, by inference, I think, criticized us and says, have you mentioned the 30,000 people who rallied for Bernie in California yesterday? I wanted to read that letter so that you would have made that mention. Okay, Rachel, all square. Thank you. Grace says, Rich often cites Republican talking points. I wonder where he gets his information. O'Reilly, Rush, Hannity, Beck.
All of the above.
Just kidding.
Jeffrey says,
I would also point, and the Federalist Papers and places like that, but it's okay.
Jeffrey says, I swear I just heard the gun that killed Trayvon Martin is being auctioned by its owner.
Yes, by Zimmerman, yes. Zimmerman's
unbelievable.
$5,000 is running, it's disgusting.
Trump, says Al, if he presents a more civil demeanor, he can win because of his moderate position on the most important issue, economic policy. Also, radical left hysteria is pushing level-headed voters away from Hillary and Bernie. And And John says, Rich is putting words in Hillary's mouth. Hillary never said that she was going to put coal miners out of work, but that we, the nation, will be putting miners out of work as the world transitions to a post-carbon economy. Get it right, people.
No, she said we're going to put coal miners, we're going to put them out of work, and we're going to put those companies out of work. She didn't say I am.
You're both right, because basically what you're saying, this is inevitable. And we have to start thinking about how to post-plan to put those people back to work.
Which is truthful.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, but who has that much experience in public life and says it like that? Unless either you're just absolutely pandering in front of some specific audience, or you just...
Rich.
How do you think
Rich.
Like that?
They all pander, first of all. Secondly...
Yeah, but some are better at it than others.
Well, wait. But secondly, they take polls. She knew she was in trouble there. She won the last time there, but she knew she was in real trouble over this issue, and she tried to do it the responsible way. I voted for Trump, I voted for Bernie. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you got to give her her due.
Yeah, but that Rich is right that comment is going to haunt her. I mean, with Ohio being such a central
right.
piece of the puzzle in the general election, and you know, in Ohio, a lot of coal mining jobs in Ohio too. It's going to have a tough time living that one down.
It's all messaging, right? And just message it that awkwardly. Right,
Dab sorry. Says, Alan, do you see this election as being a precursor to the decline of the two-party system, wherein the extremes of the party set the agenda and a move toward the European style of multiple parties who are practically forced to compromise with their opponents in order to have a seat at the table? Absolutely not. I think the way in which our Constitution reads, the way in which the Electoral College works, I think leads us to a two-party system. That's what I think happens here. And so therefore, look, this is going to be a little bit of a hump here. I talked to a very bright guy I was talking to the other day, or maybe today, or maybe this morning, who said this may be the last Republican president we will ever see. And I said, nope, we're going to see another Republican president because the actors will change. And you know, if Ryan were running right now, I think we'd have a very good chance of being the president of the United mm-hmm. States.
Only in reference to Trump, though, because I remember what you guys were saying about Ryan. I remember when Romney was running, people said, oh, and Ryan with his budget plan, he was the Antichrist.
Oh, yeah, things change.
Yeah, I mean, the parties constantly shift, right? I mean, the Republican Party today is not the Republican Party of 30 years ago because it shifted to go where the voters were going, and that's what it'll do if it loses this time around. That's what that's what the parties always do, and that's why the two-party system always endures.
And the half-life, I think we said this last time I was on, the half-life is 2 years, right? A party goes from absolute success to abject failure. Yeah. Basically,
well, that's
2 years.
True. Look at what happened in the Congress.
Every 2 years.
No question. Okay. So Cliff says there could be what Johnson called a front lash against Trump at the polls that is hard to calculate or quantify beforehand. When Johnson won over Goldwater 64, he attributed to a front lash against Goldwater's nationalistic positions before the election as opposed to a backlash later. Interesting. Richard checks in on the question of Chris Christie. Christie's just doing transition, not doing vice president. Remember a guy named Cheney, chosen to do G.W. Bush's transition, VP search, ended up as vice president. And what's worse, ended up running the country.
Badly.
And ending up shooting his friend.
I think Christie gets mentioned as the VP candidate because he's right now the only, quote unquote, legitimate or establishment politician who wants anything to do with Trump.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I still think, nobody thinks Mario would be a good choice?
Marco Rubio.
Oh, my God. Marco. See, I was trying not to say little Marco.
I think Marco would be a good choice. My intuition on this is Marco would be a good choice because he brings a Hispanic name to the whole thing.
Knowledge of the Senate. You know,
you think people really vote because somebody's going to be mad at you.
Well, that's usually a senator.
Marco might be a good choice, but I just think the things that they've said about each other, I don't know how they come back from some of that.
Voodoo economics. Remember Bush saying that about
Reagan? Yeah, but
Reagan.
This was personal, you know?
Yeah.
The little hands thing, Trump's not going to forget about that.
Yeah, that's what I don't know about Trump. There's a million things I don't know, but one of them is I wonder if, because he lives in a business world, you know, he does live in a world where you really beat the heck out of each other. You know, and then, you know, and then you close the deal and everybody shakes hands and goes out and gets a drink.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know if that's what he is.
He held a 5-year grudge with Rosie O'Donnell. Like, what do you... Well, the little hands thing. Like, what do you advance from that?
The little hands thing was from 20 years ago. He still cuts out pictures of his hands and sends it to the person who published the story. I mean, he holds grudges like nobody's business.
He does. But I don't know that he holds grudges against... I think that he can attack somebody and be attacked. I think you're right. With some people, he does. With the Bushes, I think he just hates them. Mm-hmm. Okay, but I think he could attack and be attacked, and a lot more of it slides off than we would think. You know, Christie, for example. You know, they went at it a few times. Cruz probably not.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably not.
My problem is I don't always remember what I've said, whether this is coming to one of us or for me. And that's from Tim from Schenectady, who says, "Disaffected? I'm a disaffected Democrat? That was really a careless remark." Who said disaffected?
Well, I did, of course. Yeah. So I said that the people who voted for Bernie were disaffected Democrats, and the people who voted for Trump were more disaffected Republicans. And I thought that Trump was trying to say, You guys should be voting for me now because you're both unhappy with the way your party is working.
Well, this guy says, "I'm a strong Bernie supporter and long-term Democrat, and okay, I'll vote for Hillary if I have to. But I don't think I'm disaffected. I want real change, not continuation of the Democratic corporate power establishment or tweaking of the system." Well, yeah, that's what a lot of people have.
That sounds disaffected.
Yeah. Like, I'll vote for Hillary if I have to. That sounds way disaffected. Just to me.
Joe, you tell me when it's enough. Let's see here. Jamie says, "The only thing we can be certain about is that no matter how the meeting with Paul Ryan ends, by the end of the week, Trump will find something that some aide to Ryan said and turn it into a rant of how the Trump has been betrayed again. Trump's only policy is to attack everyone all the time, so no one has a chance to say, 'Who are you?' I really do not think Trump cares if he's attacking Democrats, Republicans, or independents. Let's see how long this play will work." Okay. Thank you. And Stephen says, yes, we did that one. We did Stephen. And then Barbara, NBC reported that the exit polls in West Virginia showed 40% of the Sanders voters planned to vote for Trump. I read that on the Christian Science site.
But that's West Virginia, right?
West Virginia is a different...
Well, if Cole is the...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm saying they had a more parochial kind of issue there. That I don't know how that spreads.
Sean says, "Hi all, love the show. I don't think Bernie and Donald share an interest in the common man. Bernie truly does. Donald is going after what he thinks will win for him. Look at his treatment of workers in his palaces. I don't think it evinces concern," and that's from Sean.
Yet he seems to be getting some populist support. It's weird, a guy with an alleged $9 billion balance sheet, we don't know.
He grew up wealthy, went to Wharton, who did all the, you know, he's an establishment type.
Yeah, but
in his resume.
Sure. Yeah. Yet he seems to be getting some populist common man support.
"I also believe," says Susan, "that Trump is sucking up to Sanders and his supporters because he would rather face Sanders in a general election than Clinton." I have had that suspicion myself.
He has, but he knows that's not happening. He would love that.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's legitimately hoping to win some of them over.
Yeah, but be careful for what you get. Remember, a lot of people were saying, "Hey, well, a lot of the Democrats were saying, I hope Trump wins; he'll be easy to beat." Mm. I remember a couple of cycles ago, I remember a lot of people saying, "Wow, if this guy Obama beats Hillary, that'll really be a win for the Republicans." How'd that work out for you?
However, I said from the beginning that I thought Trump would be dangerous. And that if I was a Democratic strategist, I would want Cruz, because there was no way Cruz could have run to the middle and grabbed middle voters like Trump is going to be able to do.
Right, and it would be such a – you just go back to the playbook that you beat all these other Republicans
right.
with. If it's Cruz, Trump throws everything into chaos a little bit.
And then Mitchell wants us to remind voters of the importance of turning out for local and congressional elections. I don't understand how there is all the voter interest in presidential elections and dissatisfaction with the establishment when we keep reelecting incumbents or fail to vote at all in local elections. That's a very interesting point, because here's what happens. The presidential election always drives the most voters. And so you're going to get a lot of people who come in who have no idea who's down ballot. None. Mm-hmm. And they're going to say, "Hey, I'm here now. Let's see here. I'm here because I'm voting for Hillary. So who are the Democrats? Who are the Democrats here? That's why the Democrats tend to win and do better in presidential years than they do, as you said before, in the off years,
right,
when they do miserably when the Democrats don't turn out.
Let's pause there for a moment. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get into other subjects as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Adelphi University Hudson Valley Center, offering a Master of Social Work degree, full-time, part-time, day, evening, weekend options, online, in-person, hybrid courses, adelphi.edu for more information. Gloversville Sewing Center, Gloversville and Saratoga Springs, New York. A quilt shop offering Bernina and Janome sewing machines, gloversvillesewingcenter.com, were worth the trip. The Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio, presenting a range of programming for the arts and community, thelinda.org. And Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making and design services, from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs, in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, amherstcopy.com.
Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel that we're in the middle of this morning. We have about 15 minutes left, and we welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org.
That's like being middle-aged. We're in the middle of it, you said.
Yeah, we're really not.
We're in the middle of it, and we have 15 minutes to go.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of my life, and I'm 74. I'm a middle-ager.
That's right. Well, who said that the other day? That somebody said that it was middle-age... was now 65 or so. Did you hear that?
Yeah, well, no, but I take some encouragement from
Okay,
it.
That's good.
Yeah. Statistics don't bear that out.
Oh, yeah, what about that?
I want to mention the lockbox is open for those of you who follow us closely.
And who would like to continue to follow us closely.
You know this, but if you do not, we want you to know, which is that we have a lockbox. And what the lockbox does is you put the money in now so we don't have to take away the programming when it comes time to the actual fund drive. So every dollar that goes in now is $1 less that we have to raise during the actual fund drive. So the lockbox officially opened yesterday, and
we're unbelievable.
Very excited, and we had a nice day yesterday. So we want to keep that going, keep the momentum going. But if you for a $100 pledge,
yeah,
you explain it, Alan. Tell people what
they
get.
Okay, you get the vote package.
You.
Remember, we're in an election cycle.
Yes.
And you can vote for WAMC, and it says on the back a gigantic vote for, gigantic vote for WAMC, white against black.
As Mike Spain said yesterday, very subtle.
Yeah. And then you also get the wonderful part of your collection, which is your mug collection. It's going to be a white mug with beautiful black lettering on one side, the symbol of our authority, our microphone, radiating all kinds of sun, and on the other side, vote WAMC, and you put it in your
hand.
You put it on your credenza, and then pretty soon that special someone in your life shows up. And they say, oh, I didn't know you were interested in WAMC. And 2 weeks later, you are married. And
is that how it works?
Or broken up.
It works, yeah. 2 weeks later, you're married.
So that mug, by the way, is 14-karat white gold, and it's jewel-encrusted.
No, it's a beautiful. It really is beautiful.
And but, I like the double meaning.
Yeah,
vote. For WAMC. So you're voting for the station, but you're also, for WAMC's sake, you're going out and doing your duty as a citizen and voting.
And for God's sakes, will everybody just remember that this is how we keep this all coming and all of the thing happening here. All you got to do is put something in, anything in, and go to WAMC.org, and that's the passion that we all share for WAMC.
WAMC.org, WAMC.org, and the lockbox is open, and we went in with over $400,000 last time, and we certainly want to do that this time.
So. Not since Moses parted the Red Sea have we seen anything like that, $400,000.
So,
no offense meant.
All right.
To anyone.
Here we go. We are going back to the topics at hand and see what other trouble we can get into.
So basically, a miracle is worth something less than $500,000 in today's terms.
Well, yeah.
Right? More parting than, the Red Sea,
yes.
400 grand.
You're in the right area.
Okay.
But $1 million before we even started would be something.
That would be,
and that would be arrogant. And that, by the way, would be easy if everybody's listening just now. Tens of thousands of people just put something, and go to WMC.org and put something in the pot.
Well, it is. It's that simple, and it's that easy to do. You, Rich, I want to go back to something that you were talking about the effect on other races and what the Trump effect is on other races. So there is there's an article that I sent from the Washington Post. We've talked about this before, but the way that this is written now is we keep writing this sentence because it keeps proving true. Senate Democrats actually have a shot of winning back the Senate. Is
no question
the letter and a real shot, they yep. say. The primary's presidential nominees, one of them in particular, in the polls appear to be failing in places to give Democrats the chance they need to unseat the four or five Republicans they need to take back the upper chamber. Democrats recently got their preferred candidates through two primaries. Donald Trump is Republicans' presumptive GOP nominee, which could put a drag on Senate Republicans. And now this new Quinnipiac University poll that was released yesterday shows several key swing state Senate races between GOP incumbents and their Democratic challengers very, very tight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's no question. I've been saying it all along. This is going to be a close election, mainly because we don't know what's been turning all of these people on to Trump. We just don't know.
Chris, which way do you think it goes? That's what I can't figure out. First of all, just demographically, you got, I think there's a lot more Republican seats up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh,
so,
yeah, yeah,
so you
yeah.
have that at 24 yeah. to 10 or so, whatever it was. But I can't figure out if Republicans are so turned off by Trump that they just don't come out and they don't care about the down ticket. I could say down ticket because
well,
Rosemary's
right.
not here. Or do they say it's, I don't like Trump, but it's ever more important that we keep control and like they actually make an effort to get out
right.
for the local
well,
down ticket race.
Well,
which way does that
well,
go?
Yeah. Well, it depends on the that's a good question.
Well, let's assume that both of what you just posited are true. That there will be some people who are disgusted who don't turn out because the Republicans are not going to vote for a Democratic candidate, and there are more of them than Democrats going the other way if you're following
right,
that
yeah, understood.
Twisted logic.
So they need to get the
so they need to
turnout.
Have look, Republicans have always been profound in one way. Here's a generalization. You can write all you want about it, but it's true. The more money you have, the more likely you are to exercise the franchise. Republicans turn out in greater numbers than Democrats do. The only thing is, there aren't that many Republicans compared to the Democrats. If every Democrat in the United States voted, there would never be a Republican president again. But they don't. And Republicans who follow Shartok's rule, the more you have, the more likely you are to protect it by voting, do turn out. If, Rich, as you say, they don't turn out, then that's the end.
But you're right. But isn't there the possibility that they're impelled to turn out even more if they're appalled by Trump?
Well, also because
they don't have to vote for him.
Right.
Many
right.
of those Republicans who have said they are not going to support Trump instead say that they are going to work as hard as they can to make sure that the Republicans in the House and the Senate
right.
are reelected. So that's where a lot of the effort is going in both money and in time from the surrogates.
Except, as I said before, you know, people turn out for presidential elections like they do the Kentucky Derby. That's the big race. They turn out for that. If they're not there, they're not there to vote down ballot.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but how will this all break? I don't know. I mean, it's a state-by-state thing. You know, there are some states where people might cast a vote for Hillary and then vote for a Republican. There are some states where they, you know, states with big Hispanic populations where him at the top of the ticket could really wipe out everyone below. It's very hard to predict.
I know people don't keep track of this, but I bet this year will be one of the biggest deltas, one of the biggest differences between the total amount of people maybe who vote in the presidential, in any given state. You'll have X number of people vote for either the Republican or the Democrat presidentially. And then I bet you have a higher number who vote for the down ticket, the congressman or the Senate. I bet there will be people who may just say, all right, I'm not going to pull the trigger for this person, but I will for the down ticket.
Possible you're right. I think you're wrong.
It is true, though, that we could be headed for a very, very low turnout general election. I mean, both these guys, well, this guy and this lady, are
unpopular.
Very unpopular. And it could be that a big, big chunk of the electorate just stays home and says, forget about it. I don't like either one of them.
Chris, I'm putting $5 on the table that says this is going to be one of the largest turnouts of all time.
Because you
have a real horse race, and when you get a horse race, people come out.
But it's also going to be one of the nastiest campaigns we've ever seen. And nasty campaigns tend to depress turnout.
But it's also the campaign where the media is making more money than any previous campaign. You read that story in the Journal about CNN a couple of years ago decided we're actually going to ramp up our election coverage because they saw how much money Fox News was making. And allegedly, the head of CNN News said, we have to move a little more to the right to be able to get some of this coverage and this money. My point is, the media is going to make more money on this election, and they're going to be pushing this right up to the end.
It's a hell of an industry.
And how do they make the money? From the advertisements?
No. Oh, yeah. From the advertising.
From the campaigns directly?
From the advertising.
That's what we do wrong.
More eyeballs. Yeah. More eyeballs on the
but
screen.
But Trump doesn't have any money to spend on national advertising, so where's it going to come from?
He's had his national advertising.
How many PACs are going to be again? You saw the numbers he was quoting. You know, what did he say? 66,000 anti-Trump ads or something. I mean, someone's going to be spending the money.
We have a minute.
Robert says, Alan, let's not forget voter suppression when talking about turnout. More and more, that's what the Republican Party is depending on to overcome the Democratic favoring demographics. Kathleen says, some populist support. I'm in Massachusetts, and I'm terrified about how much populist support Trump has here. Common, regular, women, man types, cops, firefighters, teachers. The wealthy and the disconnected, Trump being seen as a savior, is mind-bending. How do they not see that he hasn't a clue about their lives and how to impact them? I can hear his hysterical laughter every day. What about his taxes? Don't those Trumpets realize he is and always has been a manipulating liar? Harding says, if Trump says the same as Hillary, he would be cheered as telling it like it is and not being politically correct. And that's from Harry. And then George says something about the three guys, the guy talk. I just like sports. Love hearing about politics. This morning program, though, makes me think of guy talk about sports. Okay. And Cosmo says, if there's a well-organized effort nationally to write in Bernie Sanders, if he's not the nominee of the Democratic Party, do you think he'd win the presidential election off his base of independents, 43% of registered voters, strong Democratic support, as well as garnering the vote of some centrist Republicans? Cosmo, if you're asking me, the answer is absolutely not.
All right, we're going to hold you there. Sorry. We're out of time. My thanks to Alan Chartok, Chris Churchill, and Rich Honan. Thank you, gentlemen. Very nice to have you here.
Thank you.
We will continue the program after the short break.